In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Can we get a hovering sound? Then God said, "Let there be light." Ah! And there was light. Amen. Who's the man this morning? And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we've had evenings and mornings for many years. And we pray that you would open our eyes that we may understand what you did, who you are. That we may, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our own faith more clearly. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand our own view of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your lesson plan, your notebooks, and your pens, We have, we've given you a lesson plan we do every week. And we have little notebooks that your lesson plans can go in. You want to get one of these notebooks and collect the sermons over the years. We pretty much give you a lesson plan almost every week. So if you want to get one of these notebooks, go to the bookstore and get one, and you can collect them and file them away and bring it every week. Please turn to Genesis 1. Last week, we started a series that will end in December on creation evolution. The title of the series is Who's Your Daddy? I think it's the obvious, who is your daddy? Your daddy is either
Jesus
or an ape somewhere. That's not an ape. Good. And last week, the title was Creation, Evolution, Religion. I would highly encourage you to get the tape, the CD. And last week I discussed and challenged you to decide whether you believe in evolution or creation. Reason being is that I believe that if you take the definition of evolution as a theory of our origins based completely on science, that you cannot believe that and believe the Bible at the same time. Because the Bible clearly says that God created us. He designed us. He made us, as we're going to see, from nothing. And that he created science and the laws of science. What evolutionists would like you to believe is that science, through random choice, natural selection, no intelligent designer, no creator, caused everything you see to be. Now, there are some who will say, well, there was a God in there somewhere. He started the process. But then their process takes a whole lot longer than the Bible says it took. So there's a lot of people who believe in different forms of evolution. But the bottom line is that it is science dictating what God can and cannot do. And since last week, I only had one message. I want to go through every day of creation. I really been praying for wisdom on how to present it. And the more that I talk to people, the more I realize that many Christians have bought into the religion of evolution. In other words, they bought into the fact that, oh yeah, we come from this, and it took billions of years, and God was in it in the beginning, but he let things go. And let me tell you something. That philosophy that science is going to dictate to God what he had, could and could not do is from the devil. Now, could God have used billions of years? Yeah, he could have. He could do anything he wants. I don't believe it's what he says. I believe he did it in 6 days. And next week we're going to talk about why I believe, or why many people believe, he did it in 6 days, besides the fact that he said day one, day two, day three. That's not enough for some people. Well, that's enough for me. But we'll look at other evidence, scientific evidence, biblical evidence, to show that he did it in 6 days. Now, why is all this important? Because this, if God said morning and evening, day one, morning and evening, day two, morning and evening, day three, day four, day five, day six, and on the seventh day he rested. If that's what he said he did, and if he said he created the earth and the seas, he created the plants, he created the animals, he created the fish, he created man, created the sun and the moon, if that's what he said he did, and he said he did that in 6 days, and then evolutionists, scientists, your universities, your schools, your Christian schools tell you something different and try to justify something other than what God said through all this mumbo jumbo, then you open up the door to say, you know what, maybe all this stuff in here is not true. Maybe God didn't really mean that when I prayed, he would answer my prayer. Maybe I got to trust in myself. It's very subtle. You have to be very careful, because let me tell you something. If your God becomes a God, if the size of your God becomes the size of the God that your logic and your understanding can comprehend, then your prayers will become the size of your logic. The prayers will become, you will pray for stuff you can understand. You will pray for stuff that you think can be done in a reasonable amount of time. That's not faith. That is not faith. That is not faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. When I pray for stuff, I'm praying for stuff that I can't do, stuff that I know I can't do, stuff I know you can't do. But it's stuff that God put on my heart to pray for. So my faith is in him. When you pray to God for anything, don't pray to God and say, well, God, you know, if you can do this. Now, I know you may not be able to do it because it's a pretty big problem I got. Or, God, you know, I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if we have enough time. So whatever, you know, I'm going to go over here and do this. And, you know, you do whatever you want to do. No, you have to believe that God can do anything. Now, when you start saying, I don't understand how he could have made this in 6 days, so let me go to the billions of years thing. We're going to talk about a little more in detail that next week. What you're saying and what you're implying on the whole Bible is that whatever I can't explain, I'll let someone else give me another answer for. Don't go there. Don't let your universities, don't let your Christian universities let you go there, because your faith is going to be watered down. Watered down. I'm old school. I believe this. Don't start imposing stuff on this that's going to water this down. That's what the devil said to Eve. Eve and Adam were in the garden by themselves, and they were with God. No sin. And what did the devil say? First question, do you really know what God said? He really didn't mean this. He really didn't mean that. She went, really? Oh, yeah. And they sinned. Oh, doubt God's word. Doubt God's word. Let me tell you something. Evolution is a battle against God's word. And if you look at the evidence, look at the real evidence, not the theoretical evidence, but look at the facts. Look at the fossil record that we'll look at later on. The evidence isn't there. The evidence says that God made a fish and the fish is there. He made a man, the man's there. There's no sub-man being. It doesn't exist. So, I'll get into that more later. Let's look at your lesson plan. One of the first things I put in here is a little nugget for you on how to work. I don't know. I remember one day I was trying to think of a work method and a philosophy of work. When I say that, cutting the grass, work. Cleaning your room, work. Building a business, work. Putting a family, a marriage together, work. Anything. Anytime you do anything, you can consider it work, and it will fit to this little model that God has given us. And again, he didn't necessarily say do work this way. Something I observed, because I observed the way he did work. So that's where I got it from. You take it for what it's worth. But let's read it in your lesson plan, then we'll read it in the Bible and observe what he did. When you're going to do anything, one of the first things you should do is say what you're going to do. And you could say it verbally, you could say it in writing. Spell it out. I am going to clean my room today. I'm going to wash my car. I am going to ask for forgiveness from my wife today. Today. So as guys, we'll wait till 11:59 tonight to do it, right as you're falling asleep. But it'll be today. I am going to do my home math homework, my history homework today. That's your thing. Say what you're going to say. Write it out. Okay? Next thing, do what you're going to say that you're going to do. Do it till you complete it. Say what you're going to say and then do it. And then review what you did and make sure that it is good. Now, if you have kids or if you're a kid or you were a kid, you'll understand how hard this is. Go make your room. Make your room, clean your room up today. You got from 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning until you get up, till you go to bed at night to clean your room. Okay, Mom, no problem. What do? They go upstairs and they start getting a computer. Go upstairs, they start playing some video games. Go upstairs and half make their bed and come downstairs. I got to get something to eat. Get something to eat, breakfast. They go upstairs and they pick one thing up and they look out the window. Then they come downstairs and it's lunchtime. They go to hang lunch. Then they go upstairs and they move one thing over here, one thing over there. Then it's dinner time. They come out and eat dinner. Now it's 9 o'clock at night and the room is not done. It's so simple. Go upstairs. Don't do anything else until you clean your room. So hard. And then when you clean your room, step back like James Brown, kiss yourself, and say it was good. Let's read chapter 1. And every time you see it is a day, we're going to do a sermon on each day and talk about what God did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. Everyone say day.
Day.
And God called the night, the darkness, he called night. Night. So evening and morning were the first day. Next week we'll talk about why I believe that means one day. Okay. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters from under the firmament, from the waters which are above the firmament. And so it was. And God called the firmament heaven. And so evening and the morning were the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the gathering of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. He did a good job. He completed. It's over. It's done. Perfect. God said, "Let the earth be forth grass, the herb that yields seed, fruit tree that yields seed according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, complete, ready to go, ready to eat, ready to grow, not evolving. So evening and morning were the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament in the heavens to divide the day from the night." Lights to divide the day from the night. "And let them be signs for seasons, spring, winter, summer, fall, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament from the heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made the greater light, two great lights, the great light to rule the day, the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. And he made the stars also. He made the stars also. And God gave them in the firmament of the heavens to give them light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the night light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And so evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters abound in abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." And God created the sea creatures, great sea creatures, big, huge dinosaur sea creatures. No problem with that. Every living thing that moves with which the waters abound according to their kind, every winged bird, There was a bird in Alaska found very recently, 14 feet long was his wingspan. Still alive today, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas. Let the birds multiply in the earth. So evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, every creeping thing on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man our image according to our likeness, our image, our likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground, all the creeps. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the birds, the air, every creeping thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, and it shall be for you for food, not meat. To every beast of the field, of the earth, to every bird of the air, to every creeping thing on the earth in which there is life, I have given what? Every green herb for food. Don't eat each other. It was so. God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And evening and morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and the host of them were finished, done, over, complete, perfect, very good. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, you notice a few things, just real quick observations. Anytime he said plant, fruit tree, animal, fish, bird, creeping thing after its kind, a species, if you will, there is variations of kinds, and there's variations in kinds. They call that microevolution, where animal can adapt to an environment. That's very different from macroevolution, where one kind to jump to another kind. There's no evidence of that. None. There's no evidence of macroevolution, one animal jumping to a different kind. In other words, a frog becoming a horse. I don't know if anyone ever said that happened, but that type of thing. A one-cell animal becoming a frog to a horse to a man, or those kinds of things. That's macroevolution. There's no evidence of that. There's theory about that. There's speculation, no evidence. There's evidence of microevolution, which is no problem. Birds adjusting in color, fur, you know, because of environment. That's different, very different. So just want to get that clear. Someone had a question about that. Microevolution versus macroevolution. Don't confuse the evolution part. It's a big difference. What we're going to look at before we get into the text today is the Big Bang Theory. If you look in your lesson plan, the Big Bang Theory says, Big Bang Theory says the entire universe exploded about 10 to 15 billion years ago, throwing matter out in all directions. Now, that means all the matter, this is the theory, that all the matter, all the planets, stars, everything that you see as physical was compacted into the size of a corn kernel. Somehow, the intense gravity had everything compacted into this corn kernel, and then somehow it exploded. And as a matter of fact, it overcame the intense gravity to push it together, and then it exploded and became everything you see that there is. Now, could God have done that? Yeah, he could do anything he wants. If you believe in that as a theory outside of God, let me give you your problems. The reason I don't think God did that, because that's not what he said he did. But that's beside the point. Let's go first talk about if you think that Big Bang versus creation. Let's look at this. Without a creator, the Big Bang has the following problems, and it's probably 50. I'm just going to give you five for the time. One, a missing origin of energy. In other words, where did the energy come from to compress all the matter in the universe into the size of a kernel of corn? To compress it into any size. How much pressure do you think it would take to compress the earth alone into the size of a kernel of corn? A million earths can fit in our sun. That's how big the sun is. And the sun is an average-sized star. So we're talking about a whole lot of stuff going someone's going, now imagine how much pressure that takes, and then imagine how much power it will take to overcome that, to explode it out. You've got to have somebody.
Well, I think that the over millions of years that just some fusion,
somebody had to do that. Something had to cause that. You have a missing origin of energy. Next, you have a missing fuse. Who would have ignited the bomb, the explosion? Anyway, someone had to go, psst, boom. Someone had to make it happen. You also have missing time. I believe the Bible says that God created the heavens and earth in 6 days and that the earth is about 10,000 years old. They suspect it's billions of years. Where are those billions of years at? You have missing chaos. If you were to put all the ingredients to make a cake in a bag and put a bomb in it, blow it up, what do you get? A cake. You get a mess. When you look at the universe, you look at the galaxies, you look at the moons, the planets that are turning, the stars that are pulsating, the moons that are rotating. You look at all the order in the universe, all the diversity, things moving this way and spinning around and doing this, comets flying by, all this different stuff going on, all the constellations that we see go over our sky every year, different signs every month. We'll get into that in day 4. All the order, all the beauty that declare the glory of God, how do you get that from a random explosion unless someone ordered it and organized it? It doesn't make sense. It goes against logic. It goes against science. Lastly, you have is missing life. How is it, as big as our universe is and as powerful as that must have been, that there's only life here? Explain that. You know what I'm saying? Their lungs work. There's only life here. So anyway, that's Big Bang. You can read about the Big Bang if you want. And I'm sure you have questions, but could God have done it? Sure, he could have done it. I don't think that's what he said he did, but that's beside the point. Look in your Bible. Look in your lesson plan. Before we read the text, I want to challenge your thinking here for a minute. And here's the question. Do you believe in miracles? That's the question. Miracles, a supernatural act of God, a wonder or a sign. Luke 18:27, Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with man are possible with God." Now, do you believe in miracles? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm asking you. Do you believe that God can do anything he wants? If you say yes, what you're also saying, and for people who are not saying yes, maybe because you don't want to say anything or maybe you question it, a miracle is something you can't do. That means there's no limit to what a miracle is. See, a miracle is not only something you can't do, but it's also something you can't explain. In other words, you can't say, "Well, that's not a miracle because I don't understand it, even though I couldn't do it." But the limits of a miracle don't exist. That's a miracle. Let me say it again. When you say, "I believe in miracles," what you're saying is that I believe that there is no limit to what God can and cannot do. In other words, I can't earn $1 million in a day. And if I did it, it'd be a miracle, but I could see how it could happen. Well, that could be a miracle, could not be, but I could see how it could happen. Disqualifies it from the ultimate of a miracle, even though it could be, God can do that as a miracle. But it has to be something like, you know what? God healed that blind person in an instant, and there is no explanation. Do I believe that? Remember Bewitched? Everybody remember Bewitched?
Yes.
I used to have a crush on Bewitched when I was little. And Bewitched was the old school witchcraft devil in the media. It's all satanic. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is our modern day Bewitched. Nice, suburban, subtle, kind devil. It's what it is. Sorry. It's the devil getting in the whole Harry Potter from the devil. Don't read those books. Don't go to those movies. It's witchcraft. It's from the pit of hell. It's the devil right in your face telling you, I'm a witch. And you go, oh, isn't it so cute? Here, little Johnny, read that. We're so stupid to go to that stuff. Anyway, Bewitched used to do this. And stuff would happen. She would twitch her nose. Twink, 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 twink. And stuff would happen. A miracle such that God could be in this room and he could say, everybody in this room be gone, and we would be gone. Man can't do that no matter how hard he tries. That's a miracle. So the question is, can God do anything he wants? Some of y'all don't believe that. That's why you're worried. Let's look at your lesson plan. Some of you may say, well, the reason that's not why I worry. I worry because maybe he won't do it even though he can. Honest, how many of y'all were thinking that? How many of y'all were thinking that? Be honest. Okay, I know. I know y'all got a little attitude.
He just thinks he know everything. He know.
How did I know that? Because I do the same thing. I worry. No, but the reason that you worry is because not only do you not believe, well, you may say that, well, he may be able to do it, but he won't do it. But really what you're saying is that whatever he does is not good enough for me. Ooh, I got you. If you realize, we had a football game yesterday, and I'm the offensive coordinator, so I got my offensive guys. And we only have 12 guys. We have to play 11. So I mainly focus on the offensive backs and receivers and quarterback, and I only have enough to play. If one of those guys gets hurt, I'm in trouble. Well, all week long, my main running back wasn't going to be at the game. We just had our first playoff game yesterday. He's not going to be at the game. And then yesterday morning, the day of the game, I heard that my fullback was in the hospital. So, I mean, my heart was going. And 1 second I'm worrying, and then I say, wait a minute. God, you got it under control, right? He said, I got it under control. Because if y'all lose, it doesn't matter. Like, God, I don't want to hear that. We want to win. So you all going to fix this because I want to win. He goes, I don't care what you want. I want you to trust me. And that's the thing. You could say, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm praying, but I don't believe you could do this. What is going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm driving, literally picking up my running back who wasn't going to be at the game, who ended up did playing. I'm going to pick him up myself. And while I'm driving there, my coach calls and says, 911, call me back. I got something you ain't going to want to hear. And I was like, oh. Call him back. Dane's in the hospital. My fullback. This is at 10-something yesterday morning. The game's at 3 o'clock. I'm like, ugh. I said, all right, don't worry. And I'm missing him. Coach, don't worry. It's going to be okay, man. It's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. And I hang up. God, are you going to take care of this? We worry because we don't think God's going to do what's best. No, God always does what's best. Both my kids played. He got out of the hospital, came to the game, and we won 44-18. So, but anyway, look at your lesson plan. God either did miracles or he did not do miracles. God either spoke miracles into existence or he did not. Let me rephrase it. God either did the utterly, ridiculously impossible by just speaking, or he did not. There is no in between. God is either unlimited and totally unexplainable, or he's not. He cannot be a figment of your imagination. He cannot be a form of what you can comprehend. You cannot put God in the confines of your understanding because he's outside of your understanding. Your child, think about your child when your little child says, "Mommy, how are we going to get there in 15 minutes? And they don't understand cars. They don't understand you could be late and give and throw the excuse on your child and get away with it. They don't understand all that. "Mommy, how are we going to get there?" You don't understand. Same thing with God. Same thing with God. "Mommy, how you and Daddy are fighting. Do you still love each other?" "I don't understand." That's part of love, honey. You get, when you get up. Look. Jesus said. Say, Jesus said. There was a storm. He was on the boat. He was laying, going to sleep. His disciples were mad because he was sleeping. And Jesus said, "Peace be still." And the storm stopped. Do you believe that? When it rains next time, go outside and yell, "Stop raining." And if it stops when you yell, I'm coming to hang out with you. If it stops when you yell, I will worship you. I will do whatever you say. Because that ain't going to happen. Mark 5:41, the girl was dead, 12 years old, laying in the bed, dead. Everyone's crying because she's dead. They call Jesus over. He goes with his three disciples and the parents in the room, and he says, "Talitha kumai, little girl, get up." And the girl got up. He just said, "Little girl, get up." He didn't say, I got speaking tongue, boom, shakalaka, boom, take oil on her. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is all he had to do is come and say, "Little girl, get up." That's it. "Little girl, get up. Hello." And you know what he said? "Get us something to eat. She's hungry." Maybe while she was dead, she went to heaven, took a long trip. She was hungry. I don't know. Just speculation. Jesus said to a man crippled 38 years, "Rise up, take your bed, and walk." John 5:8, he got up. Crippled man. "Hey, crippled man, get up." Jesus said to the demon-possessed boy, "Deaf, dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter him no more." Actually, he's speaking to the demons in the boy. 17 words in the New King James, "You deaf, dumb spirit, get up out of him." And the demons left. He just spoke it. Now, here's a question. Do you believe that? Because if you're like, that's your faith. When you pray for something, you're going to pray, and then you're going to go, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. Whatever he does is going to be right. That's where your faith has to lie. Then it says, now look at verse 1. This is where it gets deep. Verse 1. In beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis. Genesis, the book of beginnings. In Genesis began life, death, sin, marriage, music, government, family, ethnic groups, worship, Israel, all began in Genesis. Whole bunch of stuff. In beginning, God created. Everyone say created.
Created.
God created. Everyone say created.
Created.
Now, if you look in your lesson plan, the bottom of the page says bara. God, and this word is created, God bara. And it means God created something from nothing. Now, only God can do this. Everyone hold out your hand like this. Now, once you look in your hand, is there anything there? No, it shouldn't be. Don't take your Bible out, your pen, your money, whatever you got in your hand. And you look at it, you look all around, ain't nothing there, right? How long do you think? Matter of fact, I'll give you a little benefit of doubt since we're human. We got two hands. You don't have to do this, but just imagine you had two hands like this. How long do you think it would take you to make anything from what you have in your hands? I mean, you can make sound, but just like this, what can you make? Nothing. Well, if I wait billions of years and the dust falls on my hands and there'd be the mist and the... No, that's something. There is no dust. There is no water. There's no air. There's no oxygen. There's no time. There's no light. There is nothing. The Bible says that God made everything we have from nothing. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is nothing, and God just made it by talking it into existence. Do you believe that? Because this is the crux of the rest of the Bible. If you doubt that, you will doubt everything in the Bible. If he can do that, what can he do? Why would he need billions of years? The reason we need billions of years is because we can kind of understand it. And the only reason we consider it is because some non-Christian put that philosophy on us. Amen. The Bible says, God said, there's nothing over there. Let me create the whole universe. And hey, universe, boom, be there. It's there. That is creation. That is the word created from nothing. And you may be saying, man, that's out there. That's deep. It is out there. It is deep. It is big. You know, when God created all this stuff and the way he created it, and when you study what he created, it helps you understand how big he is. He's not just some little, you know, little guy with a little book, and we kind of pray with him Sunday and then go about our business. He is huge. I asked you last week, if you weren't here, I'll ask you again right now, how do you think water gets to leaves at the top of the tree? I think you see it every day. It's not from the rain and the dew. I mean, they get wet from the rain and the dew, and they get some water that way. Most of the water doesn't come from that. How does it get up there? You ever think about that? When you leave here, they just look at all the trees and say, I wonder how the water gets to those leaves way up there. And I'll tell you about it in a couple weeks when we get to that. I'm not going to tell you now. How does water mist in the air become a cloud? You ever wonder that? Well, it just clucks together. Well, it's more to it than that. I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you that next week, maybe. Maybe. Depends on when it's supposed to come up. But you know what God did? He says, in my mind, I make clouds, make earth, moon, stars, fish, ants, ant eaters, people who are going to make raid to kill the ants. It's like a star of the ant eaters. I'm going to make birds. I'm going to make seagulls. I'm going to make a platypus. Platypus. A platypus that, this is deep. A platypus that is practically blind and finds the food it eats, little shrimps, shellfish, by detecting the electrical impulse in their nervous system. Oh my goodness! That's like walking around me hearing your brain go, and every time you move a muscle, and that's how I find you. He says, yeah, I'll make that. I'll trip the scientists out. Yeah. From nothing. He didn't go in a book and say, let me combine this animal with this animal. And yeah, I'll make. No, he just thought it out of nothing. That's creative. You have to really consider when you walk out of here, you look at the birds, you look at the fish, and you look at the grass, you look at the dirt, and you look at the plants, you look at the moon and the stars at night, and think, he thought of all of that from nothing. And if you can believe that, because some of y'all don't, and he created the laws of science that keep that stuff up there. He created the laws of biology and chemistry and physics. He created all that. to sustain what he made. If you can believe that way, then when you pray for your rent, you pray for encouragement, you pray for him to heal you, pray for him to encourage you, someone to get saved, that God can do that like that. He can speak it. He can speak it. I was talking to someone yesterday that their mother died, and they were telling me how sometimes a wave will just come over them and they'll start crying. I said, "Ha, brother, I know. Flip side's true. Sometimes a wave can come over you, could just be joyful." It's like when I found out my running back wasn't going to be at the game. I mean, you know, it's a big deal because these kids worked all this year and we need everybody. And I was discouraged for about a minute. And then God said, "Nope, I'm going to take care of it. If he comes, he comes. If he don't come, he comes. But you know what? you'll be okay, and you'll still go to heaven when you die. And then he said, whew, be at peace. Thank you. Because you need to encourage him to be at peace. And you need to encourage these kids to be at peace. Okay. Just like that, he can speak it. Turn the page. Okay. Everybody ready to think?
Yeah.
Have you been thinking yet? No.
Yeah.
Someone said no. Light. Look at verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, verse 3 says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, let's think about this for a minute. This is day 1. He made the sun on day 4. This is not the sun. Who? This is not the sun. It's light. The sun is not light. The sun gives light, but the sun is not light. Light is a totally different thing. It's not a totally different thing. You could have light without the sun. Allah, those lamps, lights, Bic. But what God did is he says, I'm going to create light. We're so accustomed to having light every day, we take it for granted, but it is something that God designed and created. Look what it says in verse in your lesson plan, 1 John 1:5. It says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. So the Bible says God is light, and God says, you know, I'm going to make light. You know what it says? You know what that means? That there's something about light that's like God. To me. He says, I'm the light. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And you're going to see a bunch of verses about God, and says right there, God is light. God's comparison to light. So we're going to look at some characteristics of light, which is a very complex thing. Scientists still study, and there's a lot about light they don't know. Some things they do know. Some things they think they know. But we're going to look at some of the stuff they're pretty sure of and compare it to God. Because God said, and I think light is the only thing that God made that he said he is. He didn't say, I am water, even though he compares himself to water, but he says, I am light. Now, first, let me tell you this. The light that we have is not the limitations of what God is. It's similarities. But even the light you have changes. I'll give you an example. I was talking to a biologist Friday night. And I meet people, and it's like I always ask people what they do. So I say, how you doing? My name is Joe. What do you do, Joe? And they tell me it's always something that is interesting. This guy says, well, I am a biologist. I said, you are? I said, man, I'm doing this theory of evolution crazy. And we started talking. And I started talking about light and plants. And I'm going to get into this. I'm going to have to do more research on it so I can explain it to you better. But I'm just going to give you a little nugget. I said, Joe, I can't remember what his name really was. But I said, I was making up the Joe part. But I asked him his name. He said, he's a biologist. I said, listen, Mr. Biologist, can plants live, do they need darkness? Do they need night to live? He said, no, you can have light a lot. He says, but what they do need is different kinds of light. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, there's a summertime light. Then there's a springtime light and a fall light and a winter light. I was like, did y'all know that?
No.
Say no if you didn't know that. I didn't know that. So in the summertime, the plants are like, yay, it's summertime. Then the fall comes, and they're like, oh, man, it's getting winter. We got to get out of here. Fall the tree. Bam. Then I didn't know that. So we're not limiting God to this definition of light or what we know in science, because it's so many kinds of light. But what he created was this concept of this light, this thing that reflects him. That we see. This physical representation of him that we can understand. He calls it light. Let's look at the lesson plan. Light establishes the speed limit of the universe. There is nothing that we know that is faster than light, except darkness running away.
That was kind of a half joke, half allegory, you know. But darkness never always gets away from the light. There is nothing faster than God. God is always on time. When you pray, he's already
attended to your prayer. Light exists outside of time, therefore light is ageless. Example. The smallest unit of light is a photon, thus photograph. It's a little photon, a little packet of light. Travels 186,000 miles a second. We'll see that in a minute. If a photon leaves a planet 100 years ago, when it gets here, it is still less than 1 second old. Because at the speed of light, time stops. Do you understand that? I hope not. It's deep. It's science. It's pure science. God said, Bible says, God lives outside of time. He says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. God has no time. He's ageless. He's eternal. Because light lives outside of time and doesn't age, light is in the constant now.
Whoa. Whoa, dude. I just got a rush on that one.
Everything is now to light. Everything is in the present to God. There's not God thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? He is in the constant now. He's already in tomorrow. How is that? He's outside of time. It is a concept that our finite minds have to struggle to understand. Probably don't understand it. But God is outside of our concept. He is outside of our understanding. But he said, you know what? I'm going to create this thing called light. You study it. That's what I am. Just figure that out. You ever, your kids ever ask you a question or you ever ask your parents something and they give you an answer and they go, I don't understand. They say, that's all you're getting right now. You don't have the capacity to understand. Just get in the car. How come we can't just get ice cream? No, you're not getting ice cream. I don't understand. You have a job, you have money. I'm your kids. I'm going to call Child Protective Services. Here's the phone. You just don't understand. Look at the next one. Light has a dual nature. What does that mean? It's both wave and particle characteristics at the same time. Wave characteristics are electromagnetic, like radio waves. They can go through the wall. They can go around corners. Okay, you could be in a closed room, turn the radio on, the waves come right through the wall. That's God. Also particle, physical. Take a tennis ball and bounce off the wall. Physical, particle. Characteristics, bounce, boom, 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 boom. Confined to the wall. Go through the wall and be confined to the wall, by the wall. Light is like that. Light has wave particles where it can go around corners and bend. But it also has particle properties where it can bounce off the wall. God was all, Jesus was all God, all spirit, can walk right through the wall. Remember Doubting Thomas? How you doing, Thomas? Right through the wall. And he's all man at the same time. How? I don't know. But he's light. Look what the Bible says. Look. It says, Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. How do you have an image of something invisible? The firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rules or authorities, all things were created by him for him. He created. Come on. John 1:4. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the expression of God's thought. In the beginning was Word, Logos, the expression of God's intent, his motives. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So the Logos was God. The Bible says that the Word, the Logos, God's intent and thought became flesh. The Word, his thought, became flesh. Same time they coexisted. Deity, Christ, all man, all God. Simple. Like light. I don't get it. I know, neither do I. Light is constant, the only constant in the universe, 186,000 miles per second. If you shine light to the moon by a big light, it would go 186,000 miles a second to the moon. That speed. If you're on a rocket ship going towards the moon at 10,000 miles an hour, and then you put a light on, the light wouldn't go 186,000 miles a second plus the 10,000, which is basic physics, but the light would continue to regulate itself and go 186,000 miles a second even from the spaceship that's going 10,000 miles towards the moon. It wouldn't add the speed. As if you were on a car and threw the ball, it would go the speed of the car plus the speed of the ball out of your hand. It would go only 186,000 miles a second. It's constant. God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, when you're a good boy, God still loves you. When you're a bad boy, he loves you. When you're indifferent to him, he still loves you. He's constant. He's steady. I'm like light. Study light. You'll learn about me. Light enables us to see. Whenever you go into a room and it's pitch black dark, what do? Hey, I need some money. I can't see. I need some money. Does anybody do that? No. Hey, I need a chair. Give me a chair so I can see. What you do is you turn on the light. John 8:12, Jesus spoke, saying again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. When you don't understand your way, you don't understand your purpose, you don't understand how to get forgiveness, how to get peace, how to overcome discouragement. When you're in the dark, what do? God says, I will enable you to see. Receive me as your Savior and your Lord. I will take the scales off your eyes to help you understand that I can set you free. Last one, light consumes the darkness and is never consumed by darkness. Jesus overcomes the sin in our life. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you say, hey, I'm a Christian, and you're walking in darkness doing what the dark world does, the truth is not in you. Because let me tell you something. People say, oh, man, you got a bottle of vodka in the hand. I'm a Christian. I go to the Rock every year. Every year. It's always the same message because it's Christmas. Well, how you drinking? How you getting drunk? Oh, man, this is the spirit. This is the spirits, man. Spirits right there. Those two things don't go together. You can't have light and darkness at the same time. You have to decide, am I going to walk in the light or the darkness? Jesus is the light. In a minute, we're going to take communion. We're going to make it real quick. But don't take communion if your heart is dark because you haven't been forgiven. That the light of the world is not your Savior. Jesus, forgive me. Fill me with your love so I can see. Some of you struggle right now. Man, that dude is crazy. He believes 6 days. He don't believe in evolution. He doesn't know about all the evidence. God has to show you. I'm not going to convince you. I'm passionate. I'm saying it the way I'm saying it because I'm passionate. But it's God that's going to open up your eyes to show you that. Go out when you leave here and look at the trees and ask yourself, how does that water get up there to those leaves? Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, that we can believe and receive revelation from heaven. And Lord, I pray if anyone here right now wants the light of the world in their heart, Jesus to be their Savior, to forgive them before they take communion. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, my heart is dark with sin. I believe you're the light of the world, that you died and rose from the dead. I believe you love me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with your light. Fill me with your love and forgiveness. Please be my Savior and my Lord and my Master. Please be my Daddy. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you want Jesus to forgive you, just raise your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Lord, we pray for those people. And anybody in the lobby or Casa Real or any other room, we pray that you cleanse them. And after service, we want to pray for them. As we take communion, Lord, we want to remember and acknowledge what you've done for us. How you came from heaven after you made everything you made and we messed it up. You came from heaven to restore it. In Jesus' name, amen. As they pass out the bread and the juice, please hold both. And if you prayed at the end of the service, we're going to ask you to come up and we'll pray for you. So just, you can hand that up. We can open the screens now if we can.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for being big. We thank you that just making everything you made in such a way that your bigness is clearly seen. Your limitless is clearly seen. Your unsearchable love and power is clearly seen. So many people are working, so many educated, intelligent people are working feverishly to try to figure out what you did with the stars and the animals and light and water and all the amazing, unexplainable, illogical characteristics of these things. Boggles the most intelligent minds, and yet we still question you. Lord, I don't question you. And Lord, I pray that as we take this bread, we would realize that not only are you amazingly big, you are amazingly loving. That you humbled yourself to become a man and die on the cross. That you would let your physical body be nailed to a tree. We acknowledge that as we take this bread, that this is your body. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you say without bloodshed, there's no forgiveness of sin. So we take this juice acknowledging that it was your sinless blood that was shed for our sin. He who had no sin became sin. Lord, we thank you for that. We honor you and acknowledge you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day I was sitting studying and preparing for today, and I was just like this. And I assume it's God. You know, sometimes voices come into your head and you go, why are you doing this? You know, sometimes you could be in a relationship. Why am I in this relationship? Why do I have this job? Just why? Why did I buy these shoes? You ever think that? Just, you know, step back. And I had to step back and go, okay, let me go back. What am I doing here? Am I just teaching the teaching? And this little voice says, you are raising up an army. And for all of y'all to go here, some of y'all are visitors, but some of y'all go here. Some of y'all think y'all go here, but you don't. You just come here more than wherever the place, but you don't really go here. You're not really committed. I want to challenge you in this. One day we're going to die. All of us. It's going to be sad, but it's going to happen. Don't let it surprise you. And when you die, you're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, I gave you all this opportunity. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you churches, radio programs, the Bible, prophets, pastors. And I had a kingdom I had to be built. I had an army. What did you do? Did you do your best to be part of that army? Yesterday at halftime, our first series after halftime, our offense went in the tank for one series. Two penalties. It was terrible. And they came off the field and I yelled at them. It's all part of football. But I said, look, we're not throwing this game away. Before y'all go on the field again, I want you to decide if you really want to play. Because this is the playoffs. We lose today, it's over. We've been working all through July. Since July, all y'all were crying because you were working through. You made it. We lost one game all year. We haven't been scored on in 5 weeks. This is the truth. And now they scored a touchdown on us. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out there and play and hit somebody real hard? Real hard. Legally, but hard. Matter of fact, I pray. I'm the pastor, and before the game, we pray. And we say, look, Lord, we want to play this a hard-hitting, disciplined, by-the-book game. It's funny. Our kickoff team's called Death Squad. So I didn't name it, but that's what it's called. So as soon as I say, in Jesus' name, amen, the whole team starts yelling, Death Squad, Death Squad. So I'm like, something's wrong with this picture. But my question to him was simple. If you go out on that field, you better go out for business. The reason we're looking at this is to prepare you for business. Your coworkers, your neighbors are going to go, you believe in what? You have to know. Yes, I do. And here's why. And here's the implication of me believing that. I believe he can heal you and change my life. And then everything in my life can change by God just saying, change. That's the implication. So as you're coming, and again, if you're not from this church and you're never going to come back or whatever, you get the tapes and be challenged too. But if you come to this church, understand, we are in a battle. And there are going to be battles that God is going to call us to fight that are going to be hard. And it's not only going to be Miles fighting the battle. Some of y'all got to fight the battle, and it's going to be painful. Sacrifice. Painful. I don't know if you remember the sermon, Wu-Land. It is pain in Wu-Land. Wu-Land is when God does miracles, you go, woo. That's not all good necessarily. Sometimes you have to go through pain to experience the woo. It's part of it. An army says, I'm ready. When you're in the army, you don't have any choice. You don't say, well, Sergeant, I don't think I want to do that. No, you say, yes, sir. I'm not the sir. So I want to leave you with that, and I want to challenge you. Read this stuff. Go out and get books. Get the CD. Get the books that we have in the bookstore. Go to the tables outside. We got people who want to answer your questions. This is critical that you understand what this stuff says. Let's all stand and sing a song, and I'll see you out in the lobby.